Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, Real Mix Podcast. We had a little short stint there where we didn't put anything out for various reasons, but we are back at her, and we had started talking about some Old Testament stories that generally just kind of get gleamed over, glossed over, because we know them so well, because it's taught and we quote-unquote know them well, because they're taught in Sunday school, and so all of these stories, everybody can say, oh yeah, I know that story. Well, we propose, but do you really? there's a lot of things that tends to be maybe not totally omitted, but sugar-coated maybe during the Sunday school version. And so we are talking about Cain and Abel tonight.
Good old Cain and Abel, the first murder of the Bible. There's probably a first lot here, because there's the first murder, maybe possibly the first person to ever be jealous of another person, and whatever else we can dig up once we dig into this story here. We are in Genesis chapter 4. There appears to be, it doesn't look like a super long story. There is a ton of commentary for this, it looks like, if you will. And there are also references to Luke and Hebrew in those two books of Cain and Abel. So, so jump right into it. I'll just start reading it.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. Now, Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller. Let me turn the page here. Tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought firstborn his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel in his offering, but he did not respect Cain in his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance, fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass that they were in a field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. And the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, you shall no longer yield its strength to you. It shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth. And Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Surely you have driven me out this day from the face of the ground. I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth. And it will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me. And the Lord said to him, therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him. So that's quite the story.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on in here, if you think about it.
Yeah, there absolutely is.
There is a ton going on. So, like, not only did he kill his brother, so if you put a little thought into this, so, like, he's been 86 from everybody he knows. He's got to go. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, what does his family think of that? You know what I'm saying? Mm. You know, his father and mother. And then then he bumps into other people, and he's afraid that other people are going to kill him. So obviously there's other people around, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, there's a lot going on, but the main focus of the story is Cain killing Abel.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to know how old they were when they did this to each other. You know,
that's what 10. Yeah. So according to this little timeline here.
Yeah.
It says date unknown, so this is just kind of a rough estimate-ish. Yeah. Abel was 5 years apart.
You think so?
Well, according to this, like I said, this is a timeline that is kind of guesstimating here. I don't know. I guess I don't know enough about this timeline to know where it gets a lot of this super early information from. But they're not very far apart in age.
Right.
But Abel was 75 years old ish when he died.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
75.
Yep.
You gotta wonder what they look. You think of the person now who's 75, and you think of a person I wonder what a person at 75 looked like back then.
Yeah, that's interesting. I was just looking because they have a picture of them. Let's see if I can get that up there where you can see it.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
If that's 75, that's a pretty young looking 75.
Yeah, I hope I'm look like that. I'm 75.
Yeah. And for all of you that are listening to this and can't see what I just showed Stephen, there's a kind of a picture, cartoon, not really cartoonish, but kind of a, I don't know, like a Renaissance era painting picture of Cain and Abel and the death of Abel, and it shows them and they look like, I don't know, I'd say they look like they're in their 20s.
20s.
But again, that's
Maybe I should
artistic
start
license.
shaving. I'm gonna get to like 75 and shave, and I look like I'm 40.
Yeah.
Like, wow, he looks fantastic.
Other thing that I found that I found interesting there was the when Cain got angry, because of the whole offering situation,
Right.
and that whole conversation that God had with him, he ends that conversation with, "Sin is crouching at the door, its desire is for you, but you must rule over it." And like immediately after that, we fast forward or flash to Cain and Abel having this whatever you want to call it, discussion or whatever that gets out of hand. And Cain, that's when Cain killed him. And it almost is like God's saying, "Yet I know what you're gonna do." You know what I mean? Like, I know what you're gonna do, but this is, if you want to choose to not do this, this is how you do it. You know, are you gonna rule over your sin?
Exactly. And the other thing I like in verse 10, where it just kind of jumps out at me, where he asks him, he says, "What have you done?" Like he asked Adam and Eve that, the same question.
Yeah.
Like when they're hiding, he says, I'm totally paraphrasing here, but it's right here. But he says, when he's walking through the garden, and he's like, "Hey, where's everybody?" You know, he's calling for Adam. Adam's hiding out. And he's like, "Why are you hiding?" And Adam says, "Well, because we're naked." And God's like, "Who told you?" Same line of questions. You know? So it's like and in both instances, they were warned, like, not to do. Adam and Eve was like straight to the point, you know, don't eat from this tree. They did it regardless. And like you just mentioned, God is telling Cain here in verses 6 and 7, hey, you know, to do the right thing here, but he does the wrong thing again, like his parents, you know. So
Yeah, because I wonder because of, so you take six through eight, and so Cain is obviously super angry, and then it, 'cause it's almost like it almost sounds to me like Kane had this planned out, like made the decision to do that
The
right
kill him
then.
or
Yeah,
have the bets
to kill him. And
possible.
so I think that's what God is kind of hinting at when he's telling him about sin and crouching at the door and whatever. Because the reason I think that is because look how fast everything escalates in verse 8. Like, Cain spoke to Abel, his brother, and they were in a field. Cain rose up against his brother and killed him. I mean, obviously, I'm taking all of this at like literal face value. Like, like he's talking to his brother and they're having this what seems to be this civil conversation, and then Abel turns his back for a second and Cain knocks him over the head and kills him. Yeah, I don't know. It just seems premeditated to me, but I don't, it could be me just reading into it too much too.
No, I don't think so. Because if I look down the commentaries here, it uses for verse 8, it says the murder was stunning in its lack of precedent, its suddenness, and its finality. Jesus spoke of this ghastly event as a historical fact. Matthew 23, 35. So, I mean, it totally, mean, it got out of hand quick. Does this say, what is it? I read it and I'm like, did it say what he killed him with? Doesn't say.
No.
Doesn't say exactly what killed him. So here's my thought. So this has nothing to do with whatever weapon he used, but I was just reading the commentary down here for verse 7. It says the gracious words of the Lord were that Cain could get it right, like you mentioned earlier. He did not have to go on being angry or I have no idea what that word is. I'm gonna skip it. But he could do well. Sin was lying at the door, about to pounce on him as a lion. So in verse 7, he had a chance. God's like, hey, you can make this right. It's your choice. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So. And even after he kills his brother, he's still Cain is still worried. So now he's not only has he committed the first murder, and he's worried about that. He's worried about someone killing him for killing his brother. So what does God do? He gives him a mark. So he's recognized. So hopefully no one else kills him. You know what I'm saying? So even though, so no matter how bad you screw up, God keeps giving you chances. Granted, it's your choice. You have to make the choice. Whoever's listening or even us, we still, you and I still screw up.
Oh yeah.
Not have killed anybody.
Well, yeah, right.
Sin is sin, but there's, you still give you, there's always a way out. Whether other humans agree or disagree with that. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely.
Because the final call, the only call that matters, is up to God.
Right. Right. Yeah, because, like, you know, the fall, that not only was, like, the first, like, the entrance of sin, but in a way that was also the kind of the entrance of free will at the same time.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. They almost kind of go hand in hand.
Right. And the interesting thing too that it just kind of hit me with it, you know, the God is like actually interacting with Cain. Yeah, God's still interacting with them. Maybe not on the same level as he did in the garden, but close to, you know, because he's still having conversations with Cain and Abel.
Yeah, totally. I mean, right here it tells you in verse 15, he says, and the Lord said to him, therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark on him, lest anyone finding him should kill him. So God's saying right there, he's like, you screwed up. You got to go. He's like, but I still care about you because you're worried. Obviously, you're worried about being killed yourself. So he's like, I'm going to give you a mark. So hopefully no one kills you. But if someone does kill you, I will take vengeance upon them seven times. You know? So it's like, there's still a chance for Cain. Granted, he's severely screwed up. It's right there. There's a lot going on in these chapters.
Yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of interesting stuff, even after this story, that plays into it.
Right.
You know, because once you're into like 17 through the end of chapter 4, it starts talking about descendants of Cain and that kind of lineage. And at the end of that lineage, Lamech, who is, let's see, Enoch. Let's see here. So that's father, grandfather, great, great, great.
Methuselah.
Three great grandfather, three great grandson to Cain.
Yeah.
And Lamech tells his two wives that He killed a man for wounding him and a young man for striking him. And he said that if Cain's revenge is sevenfold, then Lamech's is 77-fold.
Huh.
I don't know what that, what the, I just found that interesting that one of his grandsons was using that revenge that God had promised and applying that to himself.
That's pretty brassy.
Oh man.
Know, and he killed two guys.
Right?
So, I mean, within the first four chapters of the Bible, you got three guys dead.
Yeah. I mean, granted, it seems like a short period of time.
Right.
Let's see. So, let's see. That's four thousand 39. That's 100. 800. It's 800 years before Lamech is born.
800 years. Huh. So in 800 years, three guys die.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, 400 years. I'm looking at a
400
different,
years.
there's a different, there's two Lamechs. Interesting.
Huh. In 400 years, they lose three people. It kind of mystifies me because I'm like, you have the entire planet. Just like, what's the deal? What's there to fight about? You know
Right. Yeah.
what I'm saying?
Yeah,
Yeah,
like literally,
go.
what is there to fight about?
Oh, I have it. I'm gonna go this way. That's cool.
Yeah.
I don't know, I guess hindsight's 20/20, but
Oh, yeah, for sure.
so I guess one of the things I'm really trying to find, and it doesn't say. Unless it says it somewhere else in the Bible, but in the original story, it does not say what kind of tool he used to kill his brother with.
Right.
Obviously, it was something organic. It could have been a stick, stone.
Right.
Whatever. And my other thing is, this is just pure speculation here. So Abel brought his firstborn and fat for a sacrifice. Cain. Brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. So it makes me wonder, so as he's bringing fruit, did he not bring the best fruit? Or did he like, because it was fruit, did he like keep the best for himself? And then just like, all right, I'm gonna keep this because I'm like it's fruit. It's not like they had refrigerators or anything. Like, all right, I want the best fruit. It's gonna maybe last a couple of days longer or something, or it's gonna taste better. Then like, just for argument's sake, say it's bananas. So my guy got listen, nice, perfect, ready to eat ripe bananas right here. And then you got like bananas that are like I don't know, got some spots on it or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are technically sweeter. Maybe he didn't know that. like I'm going to take these because they're kind of on their way out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, and I have heard that before, that it was, that his offering was subpar, or there was some sort of, like you said, it was, he didn't bring the best of what he could have.
Sure.
I agree, it's totally speculation one way or the other. I mean, but it would make sense. You know, because how would you, you know, if you compare the two offerings, you got fruit and meat, essentially, and how do you compare them to, you know, like, decide one is better than the other, especially this early, where there's no, you know, there hasn't been any, like, official.
There's no, like, guidelines here to say.
Right.
Because it says in my commentary here, it's like, there's no, like, set of rules, like, all right, here's the deal. Mm-hmm. This is how it's supposed to work. So, apparently, maybe they had some sort of inclination about. Had to die because his brother was jealous.
Mm.
But so maybe there's a couple things out here. Like, one, you should always bring your best for God.
Mm-hmm.
And two, but God did not kill
mm.
You know what I'm saying? So he still gave him another chance. He's like, I'm gonna put a mark on you so hopefully no one kills you. What I'm trying to say is, you know, if you're still living and breathing and thinking, that's.
Yeah, we broke up there a little bit.
Oh, sorry. Are we good?
I think so.
Are you there?
I am.
Ugh, so frustrating sometimes.
Yes, it is.
So did you hear any of what I had to say? What's going on around here? Hey there?
So annoying.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Must be like mildly embarrassing. Oh my goodness. Are we there? I can hear you.
Yeah, I think we're all right now.
Okay.
Thank
you. Nobody move.
Hey. Yes. Don't move. Don't breathe.
Nobody move. shoot. So, where were we?
I don't even know. I just totally lost. You know, totally got derailed.
Mm. I was talking about having second chances, God giving second chances. So.
Yes, yes, that is, that's absolutely, yeah.
Oh, what was that?
Oh, that was.
That's loud.
My, slip my Bible and it's a little bit close to my mic.
Huh.
Yeah, I think that for us today, we have, you know, what God did for Cain, you know, by giving him that way out, by telling him this is what you need to do to, you know, make the right choice to not be ruled over by your sin. I think we get that same opportunity in our daily lives too, through the Holy Spirit. You know, most people call it your conscience, whatever you want to call it, but I think we get that same opportunity to, you know, to make that choice to rule over your sin rather than allowing your sin to rule over you.
Yeah. You know, there's always a choice.
Yes.
Do right or wrong. I had to kick out. Oh, shoot. Are you there?
I am.
Okay. I think a lot of 99% of the time on this story that gets told, they're just like, they just focus on the murder. I don't think you hear a lot about the chances that are given in this story. It's a very short story, very to the point, but there's always a way out. I mean, no matter how bad you screwed up in life.
Yeah.
I mean, because God could have easily just been like, hey, you know what? Boom, you're done. Just erased them off the face of the planet. But that's not how God works. He likes giving chances. He'll give you a ton of chances. If you just, yeah. Granted, some people will never get it, and that's a terrible truth. But that's what it is. But if you can, I don't know, if you I'm kind of, I don't know. I've been having, I don't even know what to say. Maybe my brain's still not functioning properly. I'm not sure. Oh, it's terrible. Second chances. He's the God of second chances.
Absolutely.
Do you want to take that second chance, though? You know, you think what you have is so fantastic and this, that, and the other thing. And it's not really. You just filling that empty void that we've talked about so many times in all our other podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
With, you're just filling it with garbage. Just apply some God to it. You know he's there. He's there. Part of me thinks your human is predisposed to believing in a God, if you like, if you will. Because, I mean, even if you take, like, the most heinous person or whatever, and you do something absolutely horrific to them, what are the first two words out of their mouth? I will bet money these are the first two words out of their mouth. They're like, oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, so who are you talking to?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he's there, people. He's real, whether you like it or not. He's waiting for you. So there's nothing too wrong that you can't be forgiven for. And it's a pretty... That's a nice thing to have off your back, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So, is it a sad deal that Cain killed his brother? Absolutely. Is the story riddled with a way out? Absolutely. Even after the fact.
Mm-hmm. Yep, for sure.
So, all you have to do is ask God into your heart for forgiveness. It's not that hard. There's no magic words. There's nothing.
Nope.
Nothing I can say. There's nothing Philip can say. It's all on you. It's up to you. It's your choice. It's your decision. Well, I tell you, it's the best decision you'll ever make. So,
absolutely.
That's the in-depth adult version, which should be, I mean, they're great, these stories, the watered-down ones, you know, gets kids thinking about stuff, gets them a grasp and a foothold on the Bible, but, you know, dig into it. There's a lot of cool stuff in there.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's always a chance. Take it.
Yep.
Don't wait till it's too late.
I've been told that there's only one unforgivable sin, and that's to not ask forgiveness.
I believe you're right. Yeah, like not ask forgiveness, which would, I think, coincide, or AKA rejection of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So there it is.
Yep.
There it is, people. Pardon me. Just bit my lip. Ouch. Any final thoughts on that that you want to reiterate or throw back in there?
Not really. I mean, you pretty much nailed it right on the head. He is the God. Is the God of second chances, and it doesn't matter if it's your second chance or if it's your 50th chance. If you're coming to Him, He's there. He's waiting for you.
Yep, I would have to agree 100%. He's there. He's waiting for you. Sometimes he'll rattle your cage to get your attention, but he's still there waiting for you.
Yep. So. I not only is he waiting for you, but he is actively pursuing you.
He's for you. He's not against
Yes,
you.
that's right.
He made you, for crying out loud. God doesn't make things he hates.
That's right.
So, with that said, if you want to know more, or if you're just teetering on the edge of maybe going to God's side, do it. It's be the greatest thing you've ever done. Super cool. Yeah. And just crack open the Bible and start reading
Yep,
it.
absolutely.
Pick a spot. Although I would recommend, well, I was talking to my wife about this earlier tonight. Let me flip to it real quick. I believe it is. Yep. You'll get a kick out of this. Hold on. yeah. So we're talking about it, like just reading the Bible and stuff. And there was a pastor in Arizona. He's still there, I believe. But he was always like, every Sunday, he's like, if you don't have a Bible, feel free to take one. Just no question. Just take it. I mean, that's what they're there for. I mean, you should be able to just go in church and take a Bible.
Right.
So anyways, just take it home, read it, blah, blah, blah. He's like, start a New Testament, but he's like, start in the second chapter of Matthew. Don't start in the first one. Because it's all who begot who begot who. So he's like, don't start the first chapter, start
Right.
the
Yeah, go back to that later.
Yeah, once you get a grip on things, go back to that, because it's just lineage. I mean, it's important, but it's like,
Yes.
anyways,
Yeah. Like I said,
it'll make sense.
it's super important, but to try
Yeah.
to read it like first day, open the Bible, first chapter of Matthew. This guy begat, this guy begat, this guy begat, this guy begat, 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 begat. And then your mind goes numb by the time you get through the first chapter and
Yeah. I still avoid that chapter. I'm just like, man, this is like, what? You can only say begat so many times before it just gets weird. Begat, begot. Well, anyways. Oh. So, with that, obviously, don't kill anybody, people. But there is forgiveness and there's hope for all your wrongdoing. So, and don't think you that whatever you've done is too wrong, because you're talking to a couple of guys or listening to a couple of guys who've done a lot of wrong. I don't think either one of us have killed anybody, but there's probably, but there's forgiveness out there. So the guy who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament killed a lot of people, and
Yes,
he
he
got
did.
forgiven. So
Yes, he did.
there's hope for you. There's hope for Cain. There's hope for Saul, who became Paul. There's hope for you. There's hope for us. There's hope for
That's
everybody. So, until next week, people, we love you.
God loves you.
Peace.
Peace out.